ask you to turn with me this morning, firstly to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Second Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and for ever. Amen. Now, we have been looking for 2 weeks at the subject of growing in grace. But before we leave this vital subject, I want us to consider together spiritual declension, or spiritual backsliding. In verse 17 here, the apostle says, beware, be wary of the fact, of the real reality of falling from your own steadfastness. Now, I do hope that every single one of us here are steadfast in our faith and our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and our God in heaven. But the apostle says, be wary, be watchful, lest ye do fall. I want to turn secondly to Hosea chapter 14. I'm not going to read the whole of this chapter, but there is a reference here in verse 4. The apostle, the prophet says, speaking the word of God, of course, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. Well, when growth stops in a believer's life, then backsliding begins. There is no standing still. And so this morning, I want to look at first the definition of backsliding, what it means. Then I want to look secondly at the causes of backsliding in a believer's life. I'm going to look at some of the signs of, or the early signs particularly, of spiritual decline in our lives. And then I want to look at the way or the cure for our backslidden condition. Well, the word literally means to turn back or to turn away, to decline from the path of obedience to God. Probably most of us have experienced a period of spiritual decline in our lives if we are believers. We must not confuse what I'm going to speak about this morning with the ebbs and flows, the daily ups and downs of the Christian life. Galatians 5 speaks of the flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Some days the spirit is dominant. Our love for the Lord is strong. Our desire to serve him, to read his word, to appreciate Christ, to speak of him to others, to walk with him, to order our lives in a holy way, to learn of his ways is strong. Our desire for prayer and communion with God is strong, and we find prayer easy. But the next day, perhaps our old fleshly nature, our sinful nature that prefers earthly things, is stronger. I don't mean that daily up and down that each of us experience that inner spiritual battle between the old man and the new man, the old nature and the new nature. What I mean by backsliding And what Scripture means by backsliding is a sustained period of decline, where we become prayerless, perhaps, or less prayerful over a sustained period of time, and so on. And so that is what we're going to be looking at this morning, and the cure for that when it takes place in our lives. What are the causes? Well, perhaps before I look at the causes, we ought to look at some of the signs of this decline. I don't mean the outward signs, and they are many. For example, when we begin to backslide in our spiritual state, eventually, if that backsliding state is severe, we may become non-attending at the house of God. We no longer worship with the people of God. We may be unwilling to toil. It may affect our conversation, the things that we talk about, the language that we use. It will affect us in a materialistic way, so that material things become more important to us than spiritual things. I don't mean those outward signs. What I want us to think about are those inward signs that we can be conscious of if we stop and examine ourselves, perhaps before anyone else around us detects that there is anything wrong. Often it's the case with a physical ailment, isn't it? We know that we do not feel ourselves, but we put on a brave face. Those around us have no idea that we are struggling with an illness or with some physical weakness. Well, let me mention some of these signs. And really, 2 weeks ago I spoke of those 19 marks of spiritual growth. Each one of those has an opposite that we could look at, that when over a period of time that is the case, is an indication that at least inwardly, in our heart, in our souls, we are beginning to backslide. So first of all, where we have a lessening appreciation for the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I know that when we are first converted and it first dawns upon our darkened minds something of the wonderful grace and love and saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to shout his name from the housetops. But as time goes on, perhaps that appreciation is not so startling as it was when first we grasped what it means to be saved by God's grace. I don't mean that we should compare ourselves with that initial surge of love and wonder at the gospel. But where we no longer appreciate Christ, we no longer meditate upon him with sweetness and with delight, where we no longer want to think of how he came, and how he lived and died, when we no longer want to reflect upon our own sinfulness and how we deserve God's wrath, and yet Christ stands at the Father's right hand pleading his merits on our behalf, when these things no longer thrill us, when they no longer stir us, when we no longer want to search the scriptures to learn and to relearn and to be reminded of the wonders of Jesus Christ and his love to lost souls, then that may well be an early indicator, a litmus test that will alert us to the fact, are we beginning to decline spiritually? Linked to that, a lack of prayer. Prayerlessness. Now I know we have days when prayer is difficult. Perhaps when we're busy or tired. But a day later we feel greatly blessed in praying. And we delight to pray to the Lord. But has it been some weeks with you since you truly came to the Lord wrestling before him for the other members of your spiritual family? Is it some weeks since you came before the Lord and confessed your sin and pleaded with him to give you strength to break that habit? Is it some weeks since you came before the Lord in thankful praise for all that he has done for your soul? Then that may well be a sign that we are beginning to backslide. When we have lost our appetite for the Word of God, we read a verse or two, but no more. We go days, and we are no longer anxious or concerned that we are not reading the Word. Friend, you know what happens when a baby doesn't read, doesn't feed? A few days later, it will have lost weight. It will be beginning to decline in strength. The Apostle Peter said earlier in his first letter, desire the sincere milk of the Word as newborn babies, that you may grow thereby. Has our appetite for the Word gone? Does it no longer concern us that we do not fully grasp all the doctrines of the Word of God? That we are not fully resourced to answer Satan's temptation? You know, the Word of God, it is the feeding ground of faith. And when the Word of God is not heard or read or meditated upon, faith will diminish. Faith will decline. Like a shield that has been knocked and weathered, it's not much of a defense against Satan's darts when faith grows weak. Another mark of becoming backslidden spiritually is when we become increasingly absorbed with the cares and the pleasures of this present life. I mean lawful cares. Have family concerns or business concerns become so absorbing and so demanding that you've had to put your spiritual life on hold, as it were? Then be alert to the fact that that may well be an indicator that backsliding is beginning to take place. A growing attachment to this present world. Somebody told me recently of a young Christian who started sending Sunday evening Twitter messages, and some of them about TV programs that they didn't ought to be watching. Well, I don't know that believer very well. Maybe she is just misguided. But if I were her pastor and I knew that, then I'd be beginning to think, is this young Christian beginning to backslide? Is she beginning to drift away from the things of God? Because there seems a growing attachment to the things and the pleasures of this world. And that's a mark of a backslidden state. Do we have no heavenly thoughts anymore? You know, when we are close to the Lord, when perhaps trial and difficulty and affliction is brought into our lives by the Lord, we begin to think of heaven. We begin to long to be done with this world. And sometimes the Lord uses trial and illness and difficulty here upon earth to cut our ties to this world and to cut our ties with earthly things and this life. And we begin to say, I'm beginning to be weaned of these things. I want to be with the Lord. I want to be like Paul, with Christ, which is far better. But when we backslide, we do not think about heaven. We want life here upon earth to last forever. Now I know that the Lord has given to us all an instinctive desire to live, an instinctive fear of death. But nevertheless, in a healthy believer, we think about heaven. We think about the return of our Lord. We think of that day when all the consequences of sin, the sorrow, the pain, the guilt, the defilement that grips every one of us here will be down forever. But when we become backslidden, we don't think of heaven. We do not anticipate that glorious day when we will be changed almost irrecognizably, and when our souls will be freed forever from the constraints of sin and time. It's a mark of backslidden state. We become less anxious to please the Lord. We become indifferent to sin in our lives. Oh, well, it's only a little sin. You know, when we are growing in grace, as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, even little sins trouble us. We confess them, we renounce them, and we call upon the Lord to give us grace to leave them for good. But when we are backslidden, we shrug our shoulders, we turn a blind eye. Perhaps we don't even notice sins. When others alert us to things that are wrong, we begin to rise up and resist that word of admonishment. A lack of concern for the people of God or for the cause of the gospel. We're not anxious to speak to others and to pray for others and to see others brought from darkness to light, from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of Christ. These are all marks. There's a growing self-confidence when we backslide. When we ought to have no confidence in ourselves, when we backslide, we begin to grow very confident. Oh, well, I will never fall. I will never give up the faith. And yet, perhaps when we are thinking like that, at that very moment, we are beginning to lose our hold and our affection for the things of God. The true healthy believer is fearful of falling into temptation. He is alert. He is watchful. He is conscious that there are snares all around him in life, laid by Satan. Conscious that he is on a battlefield and that there are many enemies. But a soul that is backsliding says, oh, I'll be all right. I won't ever be the one that falls and abandons the faith or makes shipwreck or embarrasses my fellow believers or dishonours the Saviour. Now, if they are some of the signs, and we could look at many more, then what are the causes of decline? What is it that stops spiritual growth in its tracks? What is it that sets us on that slippery slope in which we become of no use to the Lord? Lot was a backslidden man when he was in Sodom. What led to that? Well, we could perhaps not put our finger on one specific thing. There were several things. But the first thing that he did that led to that backsliding state was allow his men to quarrel with Abraham's servants. He was no longer at peace with Abraham, his fellow believer. A second thing that he did was he judged his circumstances materialistically. He looked around when Abraham gave him the chance, and when he saw that the veil of Sodom was well watered, that it was fertile, then he gravitated, he was drawn towards Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't watch for the fact that he was going to expose himself to damaging influences. Some even think that it was when he got to Sodom that he married his wife and that she was a daughter of a Sodomite. Well, we can't be sure. But we know that Lot backslid. And they were some of the triggers that led to it. Well, what are the causes then that we need to be alert to that may lead to a backsliding state? The first one, they're not in any particular order, is trauma. A traumatic or harrowing circumstance. The Lord has permitted it, yes, if we are his children. But sometimes those very traumatic circumstances can lead to a backslidden state. Isn't that the case with David? When we look through David's life, sometimes he was under so much pressure, like when he went to Achish. Who could blame him when he knew that his life was on the line? And yet that trauma was the very reason, or the very trigger, that led to his backslidden state. Busyness. I don't mean business as in what we do as a career, but being busy. We can become so busy with all legitimate things that it becomes the cause of becoming backslidden. Well, I've got a meeting at 7 o'clock in the morning. I've got to be at that meeting. I'll leave my devotional time. Do you ever find time to catch up with it later in the day? Rarely does that happen. Or when it happens again and again. I've got a young baby. I've got to nurture that little child. I get half a night's sleep. I wake up and the baby's awake. I've got to look after that howling baby. I love it dearly. I've got to cherish it. What happens to our spiritual life? It can be a cause of declension. Not always, but we must be aware of being so busy that we no longer walk closely with the Lord. Pressure or temptation or persecution. Well, we do not know that particularly acutely, but sometimes persecution can be the trigger. Sometimes persecution is the means that the Lord uses to drive us closer to Himself. But there have been those over the years who, because it's become so tough for them to be a Christian in their family, because no one else in their family supports them, everyone else in their family is challenging their faith, everyone around them is telling them, give up, go back to your old life, be like one of us, that it's a form of persecution, and they give up, for their commitment and their courage begins to weaken. Friendships can be a source of backsliding. In Peter chapter 3:17, beware lest you be led away with the error of the wicked. The picture there is of somebody else coming into the believer's life and leading them away. It might be a business colleague. It might be social friends. It might be other members of the family who lead us away, who are used by the enemy of our souls to undermine us and to draw us further and further away from that walk that we once had with the Lord. Indiscipline may be a cause where we neglect basic Christian habits, now the means of growth. But we must be watchful. If we just become casual and indifferent, are we allowing ourselves to be doing so much in our evenings that we give up on our Bible reading? Our prayer life begins to be extinguished just because other things take the place, take the time that we once allowed ourselves for prayer. A difficult schedule. That may be another means of triggering backsliding. I do shift work and I've got to keep my shift pattern, but it throws all my regular habits out of kilter, and therefore where I used to read and pray and seek the Lord on a daily basis, it's all been thrown out of sequence, and the pressure that brings may lead to a backsliding state. Well, we could go on with these things, but we must be alert to all of these, because so often they are the things that lead to backsliding. Well, if we have to say, alas, I feel that in some way, in some part, I've begun to slip down this slippery slope away from the Lord What must be done? Well, we are responsible for our backslidden state, but ultimately, the Lord is our keeper, and the Lord is our restorer. William Cowper said this, we're going to sing his hymn later. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word? And he goes on to say, return, O holy dove, return. I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. Cowper understood that though he had backslidden, and it was his idols, it was his sins that had grieved away the Holy Spirit, he knew that he could not restore that blessing. It was the Lord that must draw near to him. It was the Lord that needed to rekindle those fires of affection within his soul. It was the Lord that needed to set before his mind afresh the glories of Christ, so that he will be captured, as it were, for the Lord. Well, the Lord may leave us to ourselves, but we may know how weak we are. We sung earlier, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We are prone to backslide. We are prone to allow these tests that come into our life to kidnap our souls and draw us away from that intimacy that we once had with our Lord in heaven. He must be our keeper. That's how Peter began his first letter. Who are kept, he said, by the power of God through faith unto salvation. If you can say this morning, no, I'm not backslidden. I truly am in love with the Lord. I delight in the word. I appreciate Christ much, so much more now than I did when I was converted. And I delight to speak of him, to labour for him, to feed upon his word. Then remember, it's the Lord that has given to you that gracious disposition. It's the Lord who keeps us by his power through faith unto salvation. David could say, Psalm 23, he restoreth my soul. When we leave the paths of righteousness, then he leads us back into them. We must know our weakness, but we must also learn to depend upon him more and more. You know, the deepest backslidden state is when we are at ease with him. I know that I don't read my Bible as much as I used to, but I don't care. I don't pray with as much heart and with as much zeal and sense of privilege as once I did, but I don't care. Or when we are in that place, it's so solemn. The first turning of the corner is when the Lord touches our soul and we begin to say, I know that I've lost the love, the zeal, the appetite, the communion, the joy, the hope, the desire that once I had to be close to the Lord and close to his people. And I want those desires back. I want the Lord to rekindle the desire. Have you got a desire to have a desire for the Lord once more? Then bless God for that. Now, I want to refer to three passages as we look at this subject of the cure for our backsliding state. And the first passage I want to look at is Psalm 80, verse 18. Psalm 80, 18. So will not we go back from thee? Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. So the first part of this verse refers to backsliding, to going back from that close walk and loyalty to the Lord. But the psalmist here says in verse 17, let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand. This is a reference, surely, to the coming Christ. And the fact that Christ would be the great restorer of the soul. But then verse 18 goes on, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Here is the psalmist conscious that the Lord must do a work for him, so that I don't go back any more than I have. Lord, turn me again. Cause your face to shine upon me. Quicken me. You know this word quicken? It means to make alive, to revive, to enliven. And we're going to come across that again in Psalm 119 in a minute. If you are in a backslidden state this morning, even if you feel that you've only taken a few steps down that spiritual path of backsliding, then crawl out to the Lord and say, Lord, quicken me. Give me new life. Give me new vigour within my soul. Revive that work of grace within, that I may start growing again. Because then I know, if the Lord grants me that blessing, if his face shines upon me, then I won't go back anymore. Let's turn to Psalm 119. I'll try and be brief because I'm sure you're all getting cold feet. Throughout this psalm, it's a psalm that uses this word quicken, in the Authorized Version at least, more than any other passage in the Word of God. We could start in Psalm 119, verse 25. My soul cleaves to the dust. My soul, my affections are committed or cleaving to the things of earth. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Put new life within my soul. Then again, verse 37. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Isn't that a mark of a backsliding Christian? When the vain things of this world become captured our attention. Turn away my eyes, he says, from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Revive my heart, so that I run in the way of thy commandments. Verse 32 has said that, I will run the way of thy commandments, when thou shalt enlarge my heart. When I will have larger, a growing love, a growing faith, a growing joy, a growing hope. When my heart, the seat of my affections, the place of my will, is enlarged, then I will run, says the psalmist. Later on, verse 40 again. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. We could go on, verse 88, verse 107. But I want to ask the question now. Well, is that all that we must do? If it is the Lord who has got to heal me because I've backslidden, then is there nothing that as a believer I am responsible for? Well, yes, we look to the Lord. And the Lord is the one who must reinvigorate us, if I can use that. But if we use the last verse in Psalm 119 as a pattern of so much of what David has written in this psalm, you will see three things. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Here is David, having penned this psalm, in which so often he has expressed his delight in the things of God, and yet he gets to the end of it, and he fears that he is in a backslidden state. I've gone astray. I've wandered from the pathway. What does he do? Well, there are three things here. Firstly, there is an admission of sin. I have gone astray. If you and I have grown cold, if we have backslidden, then if the Lord moves us to recognize that fact, and we are softened sufficient to be able to say to the Lord, I know I have backslidden, then that's something very precious that we must do. Lord, I have gone astray. I'm not in the path that once I was in. I'm not walking that path as vigorously as once I did. Secondly, there is here in this verse a concession that David makes, that I need God to restore me. I'm like a silly sheep. I've wandered, but I need the Lord to seek me out and bring me back. He must restore me. He must quicken me. He must revive me. He must bring me back. Tell the Lord that. Lay hold of him and say, Lord, give me grace. Give me life. Reinvigorate my soul. But then lastly in this psalm, there's a resolution on David's part. I do not forget thy commandments. I'm resolved to keep the rules. Even though in my heart I know that I do not have that warmth and that love and that desire that I want to have once more, yet even now I'm resolved, as God shall give me grace and enabling, to keep and to remember God's rules, God's commands, God's precepts. Perhaps you say this morning, well, I'm backslidden. There's nothing that I can do. I want to be back with the Lord, but you've just told me that he must quicken me. He must heal me. Yes, but you know the rules. Go back to the basics. Keep them, even though you don't feel any life in them. Even though you don't feel any joy in them. Walk in God's ways, and he must restore the joy. Go back to prayer. Oh, you find prayer hard. You find it arduous. You find it an effort. You don't find any peace, any joy, any warmth in it. Yes, but don't forget the Lord's commands. Meet with the people of God. Read the scriptures, praying that the Lord will speak to you through them. Well, I wanted to look at the things that the Lord uses to restore us. I'll mention them briefly. Firstly, the Lord uses his own word applied to our heart. That's why it's so important to continue to read the scriptures. It only takes a word. It only takes the Holy Spirit to break into our minds and upon our souls and to impress with fresh power and sweetness a word from God upon our hearts to revive us. And the Lord often uses that. He may use a promise. In Hosea, we must just turn to Hosea. Hosea chapter 14. In verse 4, he has said, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. What a promise there is there to all of us when we backslide. Call upon the Lord, and he has promised, I will heal you. Look at verse 5. I will be as the dew unto Israel. Well, the dew here, of course, is a picture of something that revives, something that refreshes, something that reinvigorates. You think of the heat of that country, where everything has become parched in the daytime, and then the dew comes back, and in the morning everything is refreshed. I will be the dew unto Israel. My doctrine shall distill as the dew, and I will come down like rain upon the mown grass. I think that's Deuteronomy 32. Well, here we are told, look to the Lord. He has promised, I will be as the dew. We need the Lord to bring his word, like the dew, to revive our souls once more. He may use all of those means of grace. He can use the Lord's table. He can use a good Christian book. He can use prayer. These things, when the Holy Spirit draws near and makes them a blessing to our soul, they will restore us. The Lord may heal our backsliding, secondly, by revealing to us his goodness. Joel Beakey wrote a little book on backsliding, and he draws attention to Asaph in Psalm 73. Asaph has said in this psalm, my feet had almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. I began to be envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. But then he goes on in verse 73, in Psalm 73 and verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. And then he adds in verse 23, nevertheless I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. My flesh and my heart faileth, verse 26, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion for ever. Verse 28, it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Asaph is restored when he felt that his feet had almost slipped, almost gone. And what was it that restored him? It was the fact that he became conscious once more of the goodness of God toward him. Pray that the Lord will so quicken you, if you've become lackluster in your Christian life, by bringing to your attention once more the goodness of the Lord in saving you by his grace, in making his Son known unto you as the glorious Saviour and friend of your soul. The goodness of God, his forbearance, his patience, his long-suffering nature, his kindness overruling in your circumstances, in our lives. These are all things which the Lord may use to restore us. Thirdly, the Lord may use trial and affliction to restore us. We saw that in the life of David when Ziklag was burned. That made David fall upon his knees. Beware lest the Lord send some trial into our lives in order to arrest our backsliding condition. The book of Judges is the record of Israel's backslidings. They backslid as a nation. They turned to idols. They abandoned their confidence and their trust and dependence upon the Lord. And the Lord sent the Philistines or the Amalekites or some other tribe to disturb their settled condition. Maybe the Lord will use that as a means to break our backsliding state, to send some difficulty, some trial, some affliction into our life as a means to drive us to himself and force us to our knees and cause us to cry out, Lord, help me. Lord, be with me. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, give me grace. Well, as we close, we come back to Hosea, chapter 14. The chapter begins with an appeal of a loving God to a backsliding soul. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Are you ready to return? Perhaps you say, I can't return. I don't have the strength. But are you prepared to return if God should come and seek you. The Lord says, return unto the Lord thy God. Return in your heart. Return with a cry saying, Lord, give me those spiritual desires and delights that I once had. Look at verse 2. He even tells us the language to use. Take with you these words. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us, we will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. This is the language, the prayer to use. The Lord says, if you are a backsliding soul, say to me, Lord, take away my sin, the sin of my backsliding state, the sin of my coldness. Receive me graciously. That means come before the Lord. Don't say to him, I deserve to be restored, because I don't. But I come resting upon thy grace, thy mercy, thy goodness to needy souls that call upon thee. But there's a resolution here. So will we render the calves of our lips. Strange phrase. The calves were the old offerings. But the backsliding soul says, I won't come and bring this. Remember, this is Old Testament language. I'm not going to come with a bullock or a lamb and go through the motions of some burnt offering or sacrifice. What the Lord wants more is the offering, the sacrifice of my lips of praise, my affirmation of loyalty, of devotion. Lord, if you should take away the sin of my backsliding, if you will restore me and heal me, then I will express my loyalty and devotion once more. Verse 3 is a renouncing of those things that had captivated Israel. We'll put them all to one side. Then again, verse 8, just as we close, Ephraim shall say, what have I any more to do with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. The Lord is saying here, when I heal your backslidings, Ephraim, you will look at the old idols that you had, the things that you were devoted to, the things that you had become attached to, and you will say, why did I go that way? Why did I become so wrapped up in these things? I don't want anything more to do with them. I see now that the Lord is like a green fir tree. Well, a green fir tree in Israel would have been a source of great shade. Previous verse has spoken about sitting or dwelling under the shadow of God. Oh no, I see that I don't want to sit under the impotence of an idol and trust in that. The Lord is to me like a green fir tree, a place of shelter, a place of protection, a place of ease and tranquility, a place of confidence, a place of blessing. Verse 9, who is wise and shall understand these things? Prudent and shall know them, for the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. Well, this probably refers to the whole prophecy, but it's true also of these things. Are you wise? Are you prudent this morning? Do you know that you've backslidden from the Lord, even just a little bit? Then come with words. Return to him, saying, Lord, receive me graciously. Quicken me and reinvigorate my soul. Help me to walk in thy ways, that I may be one of those just ones that proves once again that the ways of the Lord are right. May we grow in grace and ever be kept by God's grace from backsliding. Well, let's conclude with singing Cowper's well-known hymn, Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame. a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. 5:2:1.